rockzone.com.
Now, TalkZone presents The Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why, Insights and Solutions to Some of America's Most Troubling Societal Problems, featuring community activist Robert L. Woodson Sr., who has spent decades promoting solutions to some of the most challenging problems facing our nation today. Now, here's your host, Bob Woodson.
Welcome, everyone. This is Bob Woodson. We're pleased that you are joining us today for The Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why. On our show today is called Transformation, a Real Cure That Works for Drug and Alcohol Addiction. We're going to talk about a ministry that has brought more than 6,000 addicts in from the cold. And we're going to hear about a special aspect of this ministry, post-addiction family formation and marriage. Our first guest today is Bishop Shirley Holloway, founder of the House of Help City of Hope program. Pastor Shirley is founder and executive director of the House of Help, City of Hope in Washington, D.C., and now and also a facility in Waldorf, Maryland. She is a former telecommunications executive who has applied her heart and her skills to the business of saving lives. Pastor Shirley has with her today two outstanding graduates of the House of Help program, James and Angie Woods. Not only did they find sobriety and hope at the House of Help, but they found one another. And we'll hear more about them later in what I believe is one of the most inspiring stories that you'll ever hear. Without any further ado, Pastor Shirley, please tell us about yourself. What caused you to leave a cushy job in corporate America, and when you came to the ministry, resisted going to a beautiful big suburban church where there are ATM machines in the lobby and people just flowing in, and then you give your speech and get in your big limo and go home. Tell me, why would you give up that cushy life to take drug addicts and alcoholics, first of all, into your private home, and then tell us about that, man.
Wow. First, good afternoon. Thanks, Bob. It's always a pleasure to be with you, and I just love who you are, what you do. I can only say the call of God, just hearing God's heart. And the scripture says, he who feedeth the poor, he who takes care of the homeless, lendeth to God. And it was my relationship with him that said, you just can't do the religious thing. You just can't get up and go on Sunday to the big cushion church. There's a street full of people that need help, and they're not coming there, so you have to come to them. And so it was over 11 years ago that I really, really felt the tug and the pull. Never did I imagine it would cost me as much as it did, or take as much as it did. But I would do it again. And again and again and again, probably now because I see the outcome of it. If you had to ask me in the beginning, I said, I don't know. But certainly, you know, when Jesus said, can you pass this cup for me? I was like that in the beginning. It seemed like it was too many people, too much to be done, and too little to do it with. But we lived the two fishes and five loaves of bread. And that living that miracle life every day makes me hunger for life, makes me excited about getting up in the morning to see what God wants to do in the lives of someone new. And so it's been awesome, and I'd do it again.
Well, when I met you, you were not only taking people in your homes, but also you had a little rundown facility and what would have been an abandoned building except for your presence. The only reason it wasn't abandoned because you had your flock in there. And I guess what struck me when I first met you is going into this little rundown building with the lights hanging from a little
wires
all over the place.
Excuse me.
But there were also about 35 children and people sitting around. And I noticed how quiet and how well-disciplined the children were. There was something special about the presence of this in this rundown place, and what was going on there? And you were one of the few efforts that takes in families, because yeah. I think you were saying that when there is drug addiction on the part of a mother or a father, there is drug addiction. The whole family is drug addicted. Selfish. Explain yes. that to our listeners. Yes.
Well, you know, a lot of people said, Bob, when they observed us at Orange Street, they said, this place is clean, you know, no matter what the outside looked like. So I would really teach order, organization, and cleanliness. And if the surroundings you're in is not organized, then you can never get your insides organized. So I would first command that they start living what they wanted to become, and that was functional lives. No money, wash what you got, clean it, iron it, and keep it moving until you got more. And so even in living in the southeast on Orange Street, people would say, you're over there. But when you got there, what you saw was different than what you expected. And this is what I would teach some 60 people. I would, because you couldn't really get preachers to come because there was no money. They had no tithe. There was no offering. Nobody was passing no basket. So they was like, come and do what? You know, there was no faith-based funding grants and all that talk. Back then, Bobby, that was a big thing. But back then, it was none of that. And so they would be like, I'm not, my schedule won't permit. So I had 60 people, and I would say to them, you know, if you want God to answer your prayer, you must be serious about how you pray. You must expect him to answer, and you must walk like he's answering your prayers. And that starts from getting up in the morning, how you handle your day, how you close your day out, and then he'll start releasing the answers. He'll start releasing the miracles. And that's what we've seen, miracle after miracle. Over 6,000 persons, we have an 85% success rate. And we started humbly. You were there with me, Bob, in the beginning when we started in that 12 apartment building, wires everywhere. Now we have, 7 facilities. We're 16th Street. That's a 4-building transitional complex where we call Grace View, where people who finish the program, we give them grace, just as if you never fail. And they can work at McDonald's and still pay rent. They can work at McDonald's and still have cable TV and don't have to worry about how they're going to function and how they're going to make it. And now we're in Waldorf, called Kingdom City, where we house 300 men. God says, if you're faithful over a little, then I'll give you much. And I think this is our faithful much season that we're walking in now.
You know, when people hear the word something is a faith base or a ministry, they normally just think about, well, people come and pray and shout and pray and shout, and that's all that happens to them, and suddenly they're delivered. But you have a well-ordered, disciplined approach. So walk us through. A family comes in or an individual comes in, and they have a strict discipline. The men and women live separately in dorms, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there's tell us about the discipline, about getting up in the morning, keeping clean.
Yeah.
What is it that, and then as they move through the program, they're giving more freedom, but also the expectations of what they are expected to do for themselves and for the ministry increases. Can you kind of just walk us through what happens to somebody when they come off the streets after being, one man was sleeping under a bridge for 10 years.
10 years. I like to say that stigma of faith-based, that definition, no one really knows what that is. They kind of think it's church, you know, where you go on Sunday. And I kind of tell people if church was going to change folks, they wouldn't be where they were. Because you know, everybody's been to church, at least Easter, Mother's Day, Christmas, or whatever. So that's not what faith-based is. What faith-based is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of what I can't see. So I'm hoping for it. I have no evidence. But if I practice what I'm hoping for, then the evidence of what I'm waiting for will come. See, a lot of people want God to answer it and then they'll walk in it. But that's not how God works. You get up and walk in it and then he'll answer. He'll meet you midway. He's not coming all the way to you. You got to meet him midway. So let's say a person comes in and they come in and people say, well, how much does it cost? We're one of the few places, and I hope many more follow me, that you don't have to have a dime. You don't need the Blue Cross, Blue Shield. If you don't have insurance and you just want help, and that's the key, you have to say, I want help. Once a person has humbled themselves to the point of wanting help, then they're ready to listen. If they're not ready to listen, then we can't help. You can't make a deaf man understand unless he's willing to at least hear either sign language or written down. He has to hear it. So a person comes in, and then we say to them, okay, this is how we're going to give you help. We need you to get up and participate with life. You could talk about your problems. You could complain about your issues. You can blame your mama. You could do all of that, but that's not going to help you. You must participate in your help. And what does that mean? Getting up in the morning, okay, and allowing us to share with you why you're thinking the way you're thinking and how to take your stinking thinking out and put a positive thinking in. And once your thinking change, your attitude change, your behavior will change, and therefore your results will change. And that's not going to happen in a day. That's not going to happen because you didn't get high last night. That's going to happen over a period of time. And what we say to them is give us time. You give us time. Because time is the most precious thing you have. It's more important than money. It's more important than anything because you can't recoup time. And it takes time to heal. And so when that person gets up every morning, follows a few rules, goes to the classes, they're like, well, I don't feel different. That's okay. Just keep giving us time. Because if you start thinking different, then you start feeling different, and then you start responding differently. And what we find is that as we minister faith to the brain, as we minister the atmosphere of success, it's contagious. Everything's contagious. Failure is contagious. You had to hang around the people you hung around to start thinking the way you thought. So now it's the same procedure. It's just different, you know. And I like to say to people that you weren't a leader, you were a follower. Somebody had to teach you how to get high. And guess what? It wasn't the enemy. It was a friend that showed you how to smoke crack, that showed you how to shoot dope. And so now if you change your friends and keep the same influence, that same power can show you how not to use, how not to steal, how not to be destructive, but how to be successful and how to be productive. And that's what we do. They get up in the morning. Everybody takes a shower and we watch. Come on, let's help you. Okay, you got to change. And it's called reparenting or redirecting a person. And if a person is broke enough to say, I need help, and they can trust you, and that's what happens, they learn to trust us. They learn that our motives are clean, our hands are clean, our hearts are pure, and that they are our agenda. And one of our key things we say is souls are our number one priority. They know that their soul, their health, their security is our number one priority. And with that, they trust us. And as they see life change for them every single day, and changes in money in my pocket, changes in my job, changes my thinking before I get the job, changes my thinking before you give me some money. And then as my mind changed, and I always say, you can't get hope until you get help. As they get the help and we start giving them the hope, then it's an investment. It's not a handout. A lot of times we just want to hand stuff out to problems. That doesn't help. You have to invest, and your investment begins when the help has been received.
So in other words, you are unlike a traditional therapeutic program that treats hurting people as clients.
Yes. Yes.
Where they are supposed to just sit and receive therapy.
Yes.
Or receive a sandwich.
Yes.
Or receive a housing.
Yeah,
or
yes.
Receive job training. And all these other things. So constantly they're in a position of being given things,
yes,
which undermines their ability to give to themselves. In other words, what you seem to be saying is that other traditional programs deliver people from themselves, but you help people to deliver themselves from their afflictions,
yes,
with the help of God,
yes,
and Pastor Holloway.
Yes. Exactly.
So you,
my team, yes.
As your team.
Yes.
And you have brought along with you today two people who are living examples and models for what you do. And I'd like for them to introduce themselves. I want you to introduce them.
Sure.
And I want to ask
sure.
them something about their story and what were they doing before you met Pastor Holloway.
The ultimate success of Reformation is this, Bob. When a person goes from saying thank you to you welcome, As long as a person is saying thank you, that means you're giving them. When a person starts saying you're welcome, means they're giving back. And the couple I brought today are ones who first said thank you, but now they're saying to me, oh, you're welcome, Bishop. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome, Bishop. You know, so we don't want to keep them on the thank you end. That's not the Bible says it's better to give than to receive. You start receiving, but you end off giving. And I've brought the Woods family with me. They met in the ministry. I've received the help, followed the program, have just recently purchased their own house. But the greatest gift that they give is that now they're your welcomes. They're giving back and no longer just receiving, but giving back and helping others. So they can tell their story so awesomely well. Angie Woods?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
All right. James, why don't we start with you?
Amen. Okay, my name is James Woods. I was saying before I met Pastor. I was in another program when I met Pastor, but it was the sincerity that I felt. I was laying in my bed just saying, I really need some sincere help. I really want to change. I was tired of living the life. I was tired of lying to myself, the manipulating, the conning. And as I was laying in my bed, I started to hear this praying and this singing, and I was like, whoa, what is that? And I set up. And the ministry I was in was right next to her ministry. So I said to myself, I really need that in my life. That there is, seemed like it calms me. It makes me want to. It brought tears to my eyes. You know, I'm being brought up, and like I was brought up in the world, in the military, men weren't supposed to cry. Mm. You know, men were supposed to be tough. You were not supposed to show your emotions. You weren't supposed to show your feminine side, as they used to say. But it brought tears to my eyes because I was tired of living like I was living. I was hurting my family.
What were you doing, James? That was...
I was selling drugs. I was womanizing. I was conning. I was lying, stealing. You name it. Yeah. Robbing people. just living a life of illicit lifestyles and foolishness.
Yeah.
As I came to a service, Bishop was teaching. She spoke to my heart, and I said, what can I do? I can get into your ministry. And, you know, being the woman she is, she didn't want to cause no conflict. She knew I was over in the other ministry. And she said, well, you search your heart and to make sure this is what you want to do. But this is what you want to do. Then you pack your bags and just, you know, come on over here. So that in turn, it started a process of me started getting my life together. I just thought I had a drug problem, Bob. I just thought I had a bad skew of life, as they used to say, bad luck. I knew it wasn't, as I come to know God, it wasn't bad luck. I was just living inappropriate. I was living sinful. And as I came over there, she started to just teach the word of God and show me some things and tell me some things about myself. And she said, drugs was just one of your problems. But you have a whole lot of issues that they're deep-rooted, that you need to go deep down and deal with, mm-hmm. that will help you not only come out of what you're dealing with, but it'll help you start running back to the drug issue.
Good. After the break, we're going to hear from Angie. we're talking about transformation, the real cure for drugs and alcohol addiction. And our guest today is Bishop Shirley Holloway, founder of the House of Help, City of Hope, and James and Angie Woods, who are not only recovered from their addictions, but found each other and united in marriage. And as Pastor Shirley said, have now homeowners.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm Bob Woodson, president of the Center for Neighborhood Enterprise, and we will return after these messages.